Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Buffalo State Professor Peter Iacobucci on with us. Professor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right this morning, Professor. First question for you is, what was it like to see your arch rival win the Big 12 yesterday?
It was not a happy day, but Arizona, they held their own this season. They're all right. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they will. They will. You know, new conference, you got to work everything out. Sunday, we learned that President Joe Biden will be pardoning his son, Hunter Biden, after he said for months that he wouldn't. What do you think of this pardon, and does this compare to pardons of the past, especially given the over-decade span that this pardon covered?
A couple things about it. Pardons are always controversial. They've always been controversial. And we've had controversial pardons all the way back to Lincoln. So it's not abnormal that you see a pardon that gets attention. The one thing that stands out about this pardon is the scope of the pardon. This is not just he pardoned his son for a particular event or a particular accused crime. He pardoned his son for everything. And that the vast scope of that, the only thing I can think that compares to it, at least recently, is Ford's pardon of Nixon, a blanket pardon that he gave Nixon. Usually pardons are much more specific.
Now, this starts 2014, goes to 2024. Do you think this pardon, you know, obviously it's talked about now, but if you're looking back 10, 20 years from now and you're looking on the Biden presidency, do you think this will damage his image of the 4 years he was president?
Oh, I think it definitely hurts his image. And I think it hurts his image more for the members of his own party than it does for his opposition. I mean, he has been characterized as a terrible president by the right for quite some time. But for his own party, they have stood with him through his presidency. And I think many members of the party, especially traditional members of the party, people that have been in the party for quite some time, were quite shocked at this pardon.
Now, there's been, you know, talk of other pardons that he will do. Like you say, I mean, pardon is part of every administration's, you know, especially towards the end. You hear about all these pardons that presidents do at the end. Any names that you've heard or any particular pardons that Joe Biden's been rumored to be considering that surprise you?
Not that surprise me, and I don't know if the pardons are going to be issued or not. I mean, that, you know, names that caught the attention of the news are, of course, Dr. Fauci and individuals like that that became a target of the right through the Biden presidency, whether correctly or not. And whether or not Biden uses his pardon power, we'll have to see. What always amazes me about the pardon party, especially when pardon power, when I speak to my students about this, is there are no checks on this. The president can pick whomever he wants, and he can pardon them for federal crimes. And there's really nothing that Congress or anyone else, the Supreme Court, can do about it.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So it's federal pardon. So, you know, a lot of people, like I heard Piers Morgan last week say that Joe Biden should pardon Donald Trump. But there's certain cases that the president-elect is facing that the president can't pardon, correct?
That's right. Any state charge that's coming out of a state, like the ones two that President Trump are facing, the president can't do anything about that. And of course, it depends on the particular state whether the governor can issue a pardon.
Looking at Joe Biden, you know, not just the pardon, but the 4 years of the Biden presidency, you know, obviously at the beginning, members, especially on the left, were, you know, this is the guy that beat Donald Trump. This ended the Trump being the president. And then Trump historically is now going to be the 47th president. How overall do you think the Biden 4 years will be looked at in the history books?
Well, it's interesting. I think if you look at policy achievements by Biden, they're decent. They're not, you know, he he was in a very polarizing period. We're in a very polarizing political period. His policy accomplishments are quite good. If you look at the state of the economy, especially if you compare us to other countries coming out of the pandemic, we've done really well in that comparison. But as far as public image goes, Biden has always been hurt within this presidency. And ever since he took the office, he never achieved sort of the cross-society approval that we sometimes see of presidents in the past. We just have not seen that with Biden. And I think he will go down as a president that in some ways is lost to history because his accomplishments are not, he did not serve as president during a major war in which U.S. forces were completely engaged. He's not a president that has a major policy achievement that he can point to. And so I think if you look back 20, 30 years from now, he will be a transition president. Now, what the future holds, we'll see. That, of course, depends on President Trump. But I think that's what he'll be seen as.
You know, throughout the election and the hearings, I've heard John with David Bellavia and love those segments, by the way. You know, you look at when President Trump left the White House. I mean, there were members of his own party that didn't want anything to do with them. I mean, that was only 4 years ago. When you look back on this last 4 years, how did Donald Trump go from pretty much being disowned by members of his party to now being 2 months away from back at 1600 Pennsylvania?
Well, and I think this is the thing that's commonly misunderstood about President Trump. President Trump, of course, gets all the attention from his comments on social media and from his, you know, behavior that is not a normal for a president. But his ability to put his people in charge of state political parties and the national political party for the Republicans is remarkable. Over since he lost in 2020, within those first 2-3 years after that, he essentially took over the Republican Party and put his people in charge, and that pretty much ensured that he was going to win the nomination this time around. And really, the party, the members of the party and the leadership of the party over the last 4 years had to make a decision. Are we going to go with Donald Trump, or are we going to challenge Donald Trump and fight back against him? And almost to a person, they have decided to join Donald Trump.
Looking at this election, was it Donald Trump winning or Kamala Harris and the Democrats losing, in your opinion?
Well, I think, and I'll say this about Kamala Harris, she was in a very difficult position. When Joe Biden had that original debate with Donald Trump and did disastrously, even before that debate, Donald Trump was winning in almost every single swing state in the polls. And once that debate happened, Donald Trump was clearly the favorite across the country. If Biden stayed in the race, Biden was going to get destroyed. So she was in such a difficult position.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because she was behind by so much. The polls lied to us, and I'll say it's not so much that the polling lied, it's the prediction of who was going to vote and who didn't turn out to vote. If you look at this election, one of the problems for Kamala Harris is the supporters of Biden, especially his core supporters, simply did not come out in the same percentage for Kamala Harris. That could be a credit to Donald Trump and being able to win those people over and bring them to his side. And it's also, of course, a detriment to the Harris campaign that they didn't spend enough time paying attention to that segment of the electorate.
You know, you've got Donald Trump losing in 2020. You've got the Democrats losing in 2024. Are we at a point in time where people are just fed up with the current administration too quickly? Are we going to see a span here where the incumbent is actually at a disadvantage?
Well, I think that's the case. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, like Biden never got the bounce that normally an elected president gets after they take office, at least for their first year. That never happened for Biden. He never, ever became, you know, supported by people across the political spectrum. I can imagine that's exactly the same thing that's going to happen with Donald Trump. It's not that Democrats are all of a sudden going to take a re-look at Donald Trump and change their mind about him. And I think we're in such a polarized political environment that races come down to a small fraction of the electorate, where one half is completely on the other side, the other half is on the other side, and then you've got this little segment in the middle that determines the outcome.
What are you expecting from President-elect Trump's first 100 days?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at what the policies he's put forth and also the individuals he's begun to nominate to fill his administration, it's a radical agenda that he has. Certainly, this is exactly what he campaigned on. It's not that he is, you know, promoting something that wasn't talked about. I think he's going to have a difficult time getting that agenda through Congress. As you know, both sides of Congress are split almost exactly right down the middle, especially the House. And so just one or two single defectors of the Republican Party against Donald Trump is going to put his entire agenda in difficulty. Same thing we saw with Biden. Biden took many unilateral steps. Think of forgiving student loans that were repeatedly knocked down by the Supreme Court. I could see the same thing happening to Donald Trump.
Looking at Congress, is this the closest Congress has ever been?
Oh, I don't know historically if that's the closest. It's the closest it's been in recent memory, and especially in the House. The House, for the leadership of the House, it's so difficult to keep members in line, especially when it's this close, because the veto power that any single member has over any major piece of legislation is so strong. And so if you're a member of the House, certainly if you're a member of the House and you're looking after your own district, you're going to ask the leadership, hey, you want my vote? Give some benefits, you know, something to my district. But every House member now has that incentive, especially on the right. And that's going to make it very, very difficult for the Speaker of the House to control his chamber.
You know, we have Steve Roberts on Mondays on the morning show, and he, you know, talks about all this talk of the picks, the cabinet picks for Trump, and, you know, the backlash they're getting. But over history, less than 10 cabinet picks have ever been voted down. Do you think, after all is said and done, that Trump will get the picks he wants in this cabinet?
Here's what normally happens. Almost every president nominates individuals for their cabinet, and usually one or two are picked out, and they become the lightning rod that the media and opposition to the president, even opposition with his own party, focus on. Sometimes those individuals make it through. Usually they don't. My guess is, like, you might lose Pete Hegseth. You might lose Kash Patel, maybe. But everybody else is going to make it through. And then those individuals will be quietly replaced by another individual, and then we'll go on with the administration.
Looking at the Supreme Court, in these next 4 years, is there a seat that we're keeping an eye on that might have someone retire that President-elect Trump would have to replace?
Well, certainly you're looking at the people on the right on the court, and Clarence Thomas would be the first one. Clarence has been on the court since the early 1990s. But it's very difficult for the members of the court, as the left side of the court found out with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, to step away now that you're actually in power, now that you can make decisions and affect policy the way the court, especially the right of the court now, it's difficult to walk away. But I could see Clarence Thomas retiring. There's no indication that Sam Alito has any desire to retire. I could also see the Chief Justice, John Roberts, retiring.
Any cases going through the Supreme Court that we should keep an eye on right now? It seems like, you know, all the coverage is the election and the election fallout. Not so many eyes on the Supreme Court. Anything going on there that we should be keeping a lookout for?
Well, there's a number of cases that are important. The one that I'm most focused on is the project that has begun over the last couple years at the court to dismantle the administrative state. We saw last year with the case Looper Bright versus Raimondo that removed Chevron deference, meaning that normally the court would defer to an administrative agency for an interpretation of a vague statute. The court got rid of that, giving much more power to the court. We have another case this year. It's called Seven County Infrastructure Coalition versus Eagle County versus of Colorado. It's a terrible name, which challenges environmental impact statements of the EPA and how far they have to go. I think you're going to see the court continue to be negative towards the administrative state and remove the power of bureaucrats and unelected officials and move it back to the court itself or to the presidency.
You know, we heard so much talk during the election of term limits for the Supreme Court, term limits for Congress and Senate. In your opinion, if we were ever to see term limits, which is more likely, for Congress or for the Supreme Court?
Neither. It is very likely. Look, Congress people are never going to vote term limits in for themselves. Why would you do that? To say this as a political scientist, when we've studied term limits at state level and at local level, term limits normally are not very effective. What happens is it just creates a rotating door. So an individual is term limited, let's say, in a city council. They end that term, and then they go and they serve in the county legislature, and then they come back to the city council, and there's just this rotation of positions. The other thing term limits do is they remove expertise, right? People become better at their jobs the longer they're there. And so the idea of term limits, especially if it's a short term limit, really, really reduces the expertise of the individuals and gives more power usually to the administrative state, the unelected bureaucracy. But I would be shocked to see either term limits for the Supreme Court or term limits for Congress in any time soon.
Professor, as a political nerd myself, I could talk politics with you for hours, but unfortunately we're up against the clock. Really good catching up with you, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Oh, great talking with you. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.